you know how to spot a lie? Politicians have been known to dance a slippery slope when it comes to telling the truth, and we are in a federal election campaign with candidates desperate to garner our support. Sharon Box is a behavioural investigator with Mindrush Group and joins us on the program to share the common signs a politician may be lying to you. Welcome.
Hi, Kim, and hello to all your listeners.
Well, we are in a federal election campaign. Can you tell if a politician is lying?
It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, that's for sure, Kim.
Six of them.
I know, goodness me, what are we in for?
I know.
So with deception, it's a huge area of behavioural science, and we have a number of communication channels, and we're constantly leaking a lot of emotional clues through our faces, our body language, the words we speak, the way we speak, and also our physical bodies. Our pupils dilate, our faces can sort of flush red and so forth. So there's a number of channels, and we're constantly revealing a lot of clues from all these channels if we know what to look for. So when it comes to deception, what we're looking for is firstly establishing the baseline behaviour of a person, so we get to know how they act normally when they're not under stress and pressure. Then once we see lots of deviations from that behaviour and we can't explain it with the context, then that's very helpful, and we know that there's probably something that's not quite right. So we're looking for clashes of sort of words with our body language and lots of other different signals.
Well, there are two. You reckon you've got five common signs?
Well, there's actually around 27 indicators of deception, if we want to get really scientific, but I won't go through all of those on the radio. But what we're looking for, the key thing we can look for is what's called micro-expressions. So typically when we're making an expression on our face, we're just showing usually our true expression. So that's called a macro-expression. So you know, happiness, sadness, contempt, disgust, anger, and surprise. These are the seven emotions we all show on our faces, regardless of where we're from, our age, gender, and so forth. But what happens when we're trying to conceal how we're really feeling, which could be deception, not always, but generally speaking, it will be a big clue, is when we flash these little micro-expressions. So, for example, we might be showing somebody that we're smiling, but we might flash anger or fear or disgust across our face, which means there's something that's been contradicted there. So we're actually portraying one emotion, but we're hiding how we really feel. So that's a clue that we need to investigate further and ask more questions around what's triggered that little micro expression. So our faces are the biggest indicator of what we're really feeling, and looking for those little micro expressions is really, really the number one thing in looking for possible deceptive behaviour. And then secondly, we have body language. So we're looking for clashes with what our body's showing in our faces and what we're saying. So if we're saying no, but we're actually doing a little head shake yes, that's a clash. That's, we're contradicting ourselves. So just sometimes these little small things that we're doing with our body give us away. And also shoulder shrugs when politicians are trying to convince us of something. If you see one of their shoulders pop up slightly, it means they're not really sure. So that's not sort of very convincing, but they won't be aware that they've done that. It's what we call an emblematic slip. So it's the body sort of saying, oh, I really don't know, but I'm going to try and pretend that I do know. Then we move on to our words, and often we will contradict ourselves. We'll use distancing language. We'll change the tone of our voice. When we tend to be sort of going into the deception and sort of being dishonest and maybe concealing information, what we'll find is the volume of our voice tends to sort of get softer and more quiet, because we're sort of almost trying not to let the words out, and our tone will become much softer. And if you hear lots of politicians when they're denying something, you'll find that the volume goes right down almost to a whisper.
Really? So I'll look out for really, that.
Yeah.
When you were saying...
Really fascinating. You see it all the time.
One of the indicators is saying yes, but your head is nodding no. That's actually really hard to do.
That's right.
I
know. Exactly.
It's really hard. Exactly. So try,
it's
very,
it's a very unnatural movement.
So let's practice it. Yep. Yes. Yes. No. It's weird.
It's really weird, isn't it? It's really difficult. And it's actually such a simple clue. And when you look for it, you'll see it all. Sadly, you'll see it all the time. It doesn't always mean deception, of course, but what it means is somebody saying no, but they really mean yes, and vice versa. So if you see that clash with the head not matching what you're saying, then that means there's something not quite right there.
Oh,
there
I
could
can't
be a
wait.
Reason for it. I mean, some... I can't wait to practice.
No, I can't wait to watch the news. I've become a quasi expert in picking deception just out of our conversation with you.
Those little tiny movements, they're really useful. But we need to, often when we're sort of saying something in the negative, we might often be shaking our head. So we need to be careful that we're not confusing that with these little tiny movements. So they're very small micro movements. But if you really watch closely, if somebody's really sort of trying to convince us of something that's not true, you'll see that tiny little leakage. And it doesn't happen all the time. But if you look for it, you'll start to see it more and more. And most of us do that. Even if you sort of just watch footage of yourself maybe just see what you're doing with your head, it's fascinating. I tend to do it from time to time just because I'm practicing. But as you just found out, it's a very hard movement to consciously do. So this is what we call leakage of how we're really feeling when there's that sort of contradiction. So that's really key as well.
Must be tough for you watching the news.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, I bet it is. Now, we all know someone who stretches the truth, but are most lies harmless?
Well, that's the thing about lying, because the definition of a lie is when we're consciously misleading somebody without letting them know, without notification. So if you think about it, a lot of the white lies that we tell, they are harmless, because we all lie. Every single one of us, we lie. And we've learned this from when we were in the caves, you know, as cavemen, when we were lying about how much food we had, because if we didn't, we'd be the next, you know, to be eaten by the dinosaurs. So we've learned to lie from our evolution to protect ourselves and to survive. So we often lie to be kind, to be courteous, maybe to avoid embarrassment. There's some things we just want to keep to ourselves, you know, we might not want to reveal information. So these are all sort of harmless lies, but they are still actually lies. But when it comes to sort of the malicious and the real deception, and when there's something at stake and there's consequences, then that's nasty. That's deception, which is a bit more of a harsher sort of term, I guess. And that's when we might lose money, we might lose, you know, reputations, you know, when there's something at stake, that's when we really need to look out for all these clues so that we can protect ourselves from sort of emotional or financial sort of damage.
I love it when a child lies and you say, are you responsible for this? No.
And children are a great way to sort of practice, because you can just look at their head. They'll be saying yes, but their little head's going to be sort of going no.
Oh,
and they'll also do a lot of fake pouting and pretend crying and all that sort of thing.
Well, finally, my mum used to say, well, still does actually, you need to have a good memory to be a good liar. Would you agree with her?
Exactly, because lying is really hard work. It places so much effort on our cognition and thinking. So when we're lying, we have to think about what we're saying. And often we're not rehearsing our body language. So we've got all these things to worry about. And that's why there will always be some leakage, because we can't control what our body's doing. We can rehearse our words when we lie, but we can't rehearse our body language. We can't rehearse if our pupils dilate. You know, we can't rehearse if the skin starts going red around the nose and we feel like we've got to scratch our nose. So, yeah, and often it's not what we're saying that can be a clue as well. So sometimes just if somebody's concealing information and not saying anything, that is also a clue that there could be something else going on. So sometimes it's not what we're saying, it's what we're not saying.
Okay.
And that's often the case with politicians, unfortunately.
Well, this has been a fascinating chat. Do you believe me?
Well, over the phone, from your pitch and tone, I do believe you.
Thank you very much. No, it has been. Really appreciate you chatting and giving us a lot to think about. Sharon Box, behavioural investigator with Mindrush Group. Cheers for that. Have a great night.